Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's here and now, and it's summer. Are you hearing the call of the wild, rushing rapids, birds tweeting, man tweeting? Ugh, who would tweet while real birds are? Walter Kernwood. His books include Up in the Air. He's also now national correspondent for The New Republic, covering, among other things, the election. And he's doing that while hiking the glorious mountains of Montana, where he lives, because, as he writes in Outside Magazine, you haven't lived until you've used electronics in the great outdoors. His article is called Tweets from the Trail. He joins us from his home in Livingston, outside Livingston, Montana. So, Walter, you're the guy tweeting on the trail. How have people reacted to this?
Horrified reaction. Across the street, a guy at a bookstore that sells a lot of outdoor books took me aside and said, you know, you just made yourself the enemy. Do you realize that? And then he said, you know, you're only hurting yourself, missing the peace and the grandeur of the outdoors. And I said, no. I'm getting all the peace and grandeur, and I'm getting a little work done.
Well, make the case. Make the case. Not only are you getting work done, but what you did to discover this, that you kind of like using electronics in the great outdoors, is you were writing. You went purposefully outside your house. You set up on an old, I think, telephone wire spool. And what? What happened?
I was living on a ranch. It was summertime. And I looked up from my desk while I was working on the book Up in the Air, which is set in airports and very sterile, claustrophobic spaces. And I thought, hey, I could be doing this out there. So I took it out, started writing. And I found that when I looked up from my computer, looking at the big blue sky and literally antelope up on the hillside, that everything was flowing in a way that it didn't when I was cramped. Went back the next day, and pretty soon I was out there every day. And I thought, well, painters like to paint in plain air, so to speak. Why can't writers write in it? And why can't they use their tools, a computer?
Well, that's one thing. An entirely different thing is what you write about, you then started doing, and what your friends are finding irritating is the word you use, is you are now logging onto Twitter during day hikes, sometimes on overnight trips. This is on the trail. Do you know how it makes people's skin crawl to come, you know, they're out there, they finally have gotten away from technology, and then they come across Walter Kern tweeting?
Yeah. Well, luckily, it's a big outdoors, and the likelihood of bumping into me is small. But you're absolutely right. It does bring about a ghastly reaction. But here's my feeling about it. It's a world of contrasts, and it's a life of contrasts. What's nicer than having a cold Coca-Cola on the beach or whatever? Well, when you're out in this beautiful, open, natural place, and you've got this little bit of technology connecting you to the world, it feels sort of like you're appreciating both of them. You're appreciating both the miracle of the connectivity and the space and peace of the environment.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying it heightens each.
Yeah, and this isn't all work. You know, tweeting isn't work. Sometimes I'm talking to friends. Sometimes I'm just having a thought out there. But, man, I can send a dispatch straight from 10,000 feet up on a mountain. You know, that's fresh news, right from the front.
Well, here's a couple of your tweets. I need no conception of God more complicated than that he embodies the majesty, justice, and power of the ocean. Heavy.
Yes.
And lovely.
That was written on a very deserted beach on Central Coast of California. Hey, man, I just wanted to memorialize the thoughts. People bring cameras all the time to these places.
Speaking of, hey, man, you know how a sort of a surfer dude responded to you when he saw you once heading towards the beach with an iPad. He said, why actually surf when you can surf the net? You know, real eye rolling. He was disgusted with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was disgusted with me. And, you know, as far as the advance of this guilty pleasure of using technology in the outdoors, I think I'm so far in the forefront that I look back and there's no one behind me. I have yet to find many people who go, oh, cool, you brought your detachable Bluetooth speaker that plays iTunes in the middle of nowhere where we were just trying to get in touch with nature. That's cool. Unless I meet the most enlightened Buddhist in the West, I doubt I'm going to get that response.
Well, but actually, we have a colleague, Emiko, perhaps the loveliest, most, I don't know how to say it, compatible with nature I can think of. She and her family were hiking in California. They heard a bird call, and they wanted to figure out what it was. So someone pulled out an iPhone because it had a bird app on it. And it actually turned into a lovely moment. They were playing the bird phone sound, and the bird was responding. But someone came along on the trail, and if they could have, they would have arrested them right there, you know, for doing that.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. What is this religion of the outdoors that requires it to be like a church that no one trespass on with the wrong sort of objects? I mean, that's a wonderful romantic notion, but we're a part of nature, and we certainly have influence over it. I think that the blend is a good thing. Nature does not just exist to help us forget as a kind of spa. It's also a legitimate place for us to be. And when technology allows us to be there with some of our favorite toys, we should thank it for its welcome, not worry about whether some puritanical rule has been violated.
Well, in fact, you compare what you do, climbing in some cases to the top of the mountain and maybe having an epiphany when you get there and wanting to record it in the way that, you know, modern man often does on a tweet or something. You compare that to past religious people.
Oh, yeah. I've just been reading for a book I'm writing, the book of Exodus. Here's Moses and the Hebrews having left Egypt, and they're camped way, way out in the desert at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and they set up this device called the Ark of the Covenant, which actually one can think of as a radio receiver that tunes in Jehovah. People have always gone to the desert and to big empty spaces for inspiration. Sometimes they've even set up devices there to maximize that contact. That's my extremely highbrow premise. The fact is, the first few times I did it, I didn't need an excuse. It was just something I was doing. I will tell you that music played at the top of a mountain, a little jazz maybe, something that really contrasts with what's around you, really brings out the jazz in jazz, man. You know.
Just be careful, Walter, that there aren't that many other hikers nearby you when you're getting jazzed like that.
Yeah, I mean, Montana allows you to carry a sidearm into the wilderness, so it would probably be a good idea.
One man's jazz on the top of the mountain is not another's, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm looking at some of your tweets. I feel the novelty of the internet suddenly, palpably, starting to wear off for me as well as others. I agree with you on that. Here's another. The root mystery of the Bible is, why did God choose to booby-trap the otherwise wholly gratifying and all-sustaining Garden of Eden? I'm going to follow you.
Well, let's put it this way. There are thoughts and moods that come over you in the outdoors that come out nowhere else as purely and as profoundly. And the privilege of being able to communicate them instantly is really kind of miraculous. Good for nature and good for people, I think.
Walter Kern, author of Up in the Air and other books, will also be actually following his tweets as national correspondent for The New Republic and as he wanders through Montana this summer. Walter, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Well, he asked, what is it about this idea of the religion of nature? Perhaps you want to tell him, or maybe you agree with him. Weigh in at hereandnow.org, on Twitter at hereandnow, or at hereandnowrobin. But maybe not while hiking. We don't want to be a groove killer. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.